Welcome to KPTZ's Nature Now, a program of information and insights about the natural history of our region. We welcome observations and suggestions from our listeners, care of kptz.org.
Hello, and welcome to Nature Now for this last week of 2016. I'm your host, Nan Evans, and my guest today is Monica Fletcher. Monica is, in my opinion, one of Port Townsend's best birders. Able to identify hosts of bird species by sight, behavior, and sound. And in just a few minutes, I'll talk with Monica about the Port Townsend Christmas Bird Count that happened just about a week ago on a cold, blustery, and snowy Saturday. Welcome, Monica.
Thank you, Nan.
First, as always, let's hear this week's mystery sound. And yes, one critter makes all of the different sounds that you can hear in the sound clip. So just a little hint. You can often flush these critters out of underbrush near the ground. In fact, I flushed one in the North Beach neighborhood just a few days ago. Well, normally we would go to our kind of regular observation and news section, but since Monica and I are going to spend a great deal of time talking about what was observed during the Christmas bird count, we're just going to go straight to that. I also realized I didn't want to be tempted to make any stupid jokes about seeing flying reindeer or dancing snowmen. Anyway, let's go directly to our conversation with Monica Fletcher. For those of you who are regular and steady listeners, just a year ago on Nature Now, Monica and I talked about the 2015 Christmas bird count. But in case you missed that program, let's review some of the basic background stuff. Like, Monica, what is the Christmas bird count?
Well, the Christmas bird count is now going on over 100 years in this country of an Audubon-sponsored count on Christmas Day of birds in a specific area. There's all over the United States, and I think Canada too, but they're little 15-mile-wide circles in which groups get together and walk and drive and run to and get to all sorts of different areas to count the actual birds, not just species number, but how many robins, how many murres.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been this tradition that is like probably one of the founding citizen science projects in the country. And it's just been going on a long time, and it tells us things.
So do you know how long it's been going on in Port Townsend?
In Port Townsend, it's been going on about 35 years.
Whoa, that's a long time.
I looked up stuff today from 1990. Is that 35? Did I get that right?
Maybe
25. 25. I've heard that it goes on to 35, so mm-hmm. I looked up 25 just to be sure.
And you said Christmas Day, but it's actually on a selected day. And when was the one that was here this year?
Well, this was last Saturday, and that's just for the Port Townsend Circle. And then locally, we have the Nia Bay Circle, the Squim Circle, the Port Angeles Circle. And they're all, if you were insane, you could do three in a row this last weekend.
Oh, good. So you talked about them as being circles. How does it actually work?
Well, you recruit as many people as you can. Some people are recruited as feeder watchers, but most people meet a leader who can identify birds pretty well. Our group has up to 13. I don't think it had that many different groups this year. But you just go out from the very beginning of light, and our particular group, my particular group, which had five of us walking together in the snow, was from Point Hudson to North Beach.
Wow.
And that included Chetsmoka, some of the residential areas of Morgan Hill, Chinese Gardens. So you just walk and you count. And I really enjoy the identifying, and I really appreciate the people that do the actual, the little tick
so
marks.
The note keeper types.
The note keeper types, yeah.
I might be able to do that part. Actually, I want to ask you one more sort of background question because I just love this story. Will you share how the Christmas bird count got started?
Well, not very glamorously and rather savagely. The original Christmas bird counts were bird hunts, and they were all about how many birds could you kill on your Christmas day or the day that you get your friends together. So
odd way to celebrate, but yeah.
Yeah. Bounty, I guess. The bounteous world. And Audubon, which cut its teeth on getting feathers off of women's hats, felt that this would be a good thing to change to a sort of citizen science project and get people to count birds, not shoot them.
Well done. About 100 years ago, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. So your group this year, you talked a little bit about where your path was, and you've done that path before, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So I've got to ask you one question. I know what the weather was like that Saturday morning. I looked out the windows and just stayed indoors. I want to know what motivated you. I mean, why was it important to you to get out of bed and out into that cold, bitter, nasty Saturday morning?
Well, I was dreading it. I was watching the weather going, no, no. And then the first few snowflakes I thought would go away, and they didn't. What motivates me is it's really fun. It's a consistent and helpful project, and I get to meet some fabulous people from town. Some of them beginners, some of them better than me at birding, and it's a lot of fun, and I wouldn't miss it. Also, amongst the group that gets together to do the sort of different walks, you get a lot of ribbing if you don't show up.
Oh, peer pressure, right.
You're basically not allowed to go on vacation.
Yes, okay. Well, tell me a bit about on your loop from, you said, Point Hudson out eventually to North Beach. What did you see?
We saw pretty much the same cast of characters that we always did. In general, that area is great for seabird watching and great for all the little forest birds because we do Point Wilson and the fort and up to the batteries and Chinese gardens. And we get a lot of our usual suspects. And I wouldn't say we had anything new this Saturday, but what we did have, which I think is attributable to the snow, was sort of new behaviors. We had woodpeckers really close and oblivious to our viewing. They're so intent on getting the little sapsuckers.
So you would have seen downies and hairies, yeah?
Well, we actually saw mostly, and I thought it was odd, I saw red-breasted sapsucker time and time and time again.
Interesting. Okay.
And we've, in the winter and in inclement weather, we sometimes get up to 100 sapsuckers coming down closer to the ocean, coming closer to the temperate areas. And that's one of the things you see that you base on these Christmas bird counts. And it's kind of interesting. And also the kinglets and the Pacific wren, they were just obsessed with feeding in the snow. And you had to make sure you didn't step on them.
Did you see the bald eagle that lives out there at the fort?
Yeah, we saw about four bald eagles, two at Point Hudson and two up in the fort. Mm-hmm. This year was interesting because it didn't have many raptors.
I was going to ask you about raptors.
Yeah. And it's specific, and I don't really think anyone's worried about that. There were red-tailed hawks seen. There weren't any Cooper's hawks. There weren't any sharp-shinned hawks. It could have just been behavioral. Maybe they don't like to hunt in the snow.
I'd say it's... Is that a weather thing or?
Yeah, my guess, but that's completely my guess. And that's what's fun about the Christmas bird count. You can attribute whatever you want to.
So you said most of the species you saw were the same as sort of the regular inhabitants of that area. Were there other differences besides some of the feeding behaviors you mentioned of like the kinglets or the wrens?
Yeah, just in my small 5 mile walk, there weren't too many things to talk about that was exciting, except on my specific thing, there were many fewer common myrrh. And common myrrh last year, we were getting over 1,000 last year, and we didn't even get up to 20 this year. And unfortunately, when I talk to people about this, Nia Bay last year had 24,000 common myrrh, and nearly 1,000 rhinoceros auklet, which they get more of the rhinoceros auklet because the auklets head out to sea in the winter. They're not so far inland. But the common murre is a real question, and there was news last year of
disease or something.
There was a respiratory disease and starvation, and there was also the blob, this region-wide
warm spot of ocean water,
yeah, and changes in the upwelling and the fish forage fish, and so I think we actually saw the effects of some of that. And there's another bird that's sort of down in numbers. In 1990, when I looked it up, about 580 Western grebe were seen. Last year, 450 Western grebe were seen. This year, it's something like 20, 24.
20 or so.
Yeah. And all of these things we don't really know. And I do want to say that you have patchiness. They may not be off Point Wilson.
But they may be elsewhere.
Yeah. But they may be something.
Your sampling doesn't really pick that stuff up.
And there's a very good project in Washington called the Puget Sound Seabird Survey, which has many stations all over the Puget Sound area that all record their birds simultaneously. And that gives you a better snapshot of numbers in a way. And it's a really worthwhile project than, say, these days of one area getting a look-see.
And I'm sure, as we mentioned, weather is going to make a difference, and I don't know what else.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So as you look back over the 25, 35 years around Port Townsend, and I'm sure you've talked with old-time birders, what kind of reflections do they have over things that might have changed during that period?
I think in general what we just mentioned, which is the seabirds, are really the most down in numbers, and specifically this year with that incident. We did get other parts of Port Townsend's count. We got a new visitor, a very, very, very rare visitor here.
Who was that?
That is the Bohemian Waxwing.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So they're showing up. We had not seen them in Jefferson County, but we were put on alert to look for them for the Christmas bird count.
The cedar waxwing is what we would see mostly around here. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So we knew that Bohemian waxwings had been seen in Skagit. They'd been seen in, of course, Clallam, our big competitor, heavy-duty birding spot. So we were told to look amongst our cedar waxwings to make sure that people looked. And down by Matt's Bay, I think it was Ken Wilson's group, found like one cedar waxwing and three Bohemian waxwings.
Oh, wow.
That's exciting for the likes of myself. But in terms of the 35 years, you know, that was sort of just a little look-see I did of 25 years ago. I don't really know what the overall trends are. That's a tough one to
be a tough, scientifically significant set of observations. But I'm just thinking of those who have done it for years must have some kind of inklings. Yeah,
I couldn't tell you who really looks at that. I get into the participation of going out and enjoying the numbers and trying to up our numbers. We had the same numbers of species this year as we had last year.
So I guess I need to ask you one more thing about the Christmas bird count. Actually, two more things. Do you have to be an expert birder to do it?
Absolutely not. It's very fun. You have to be willing to go out in the cold. That's the number one thing. But as I said, the person who records the little tick marks, numbers, and just it's so fun. We bring a scope along. We take the time to look at things. It's not an ordeal at all. And then you break for lunch and re-find your limbs and get to know each other. And then you go back out. Anyone can be of help.
So if a listener wanted to participate in next year's Christmas bird count, how do they go about that?
I would say that early December, just go to the Admiralty Audubon website, look for it there, or attend one of the meetings in November or December when the sign-ups are.
Okay. So next December, look at the Admiralty Audubon website. Okay. Well, we need now to go back and listen to that mystery sound again, and I'll ask actually Monica if she saw any of these on the bird count. So let's listen to the sound.
Thank you.
Well, those were the sounds of the northern flicker, a large and I think amazingly nattily colored woodpecker. The males sport a deep black bib on their upper chest, a red mustache, and tidy black crescents and curves on a smooth gray-brown body. Years ago, when I was first learning about birds, the flicker of the eastern part of the U.S. was called a yellow-shafted flicker, while the flicker of the western states was called a red-shafted flicker. But ornithologists today have grouped both the red-shafted and the yellow-shafted flickers into one species. It's called the northern flicker. So when they're flushed from the brush, you can see either rosy red or lemon yellow tones flashing from the underside of the flicker's wings. And on both birds, the red-shafted and the yellow-shafted, you'll see the definitive bright white rump patch as they fly away. Actually, sometimes that's all I've seen. The two forms do hybridize extensively where their ranges meet, and that's sort of from Alaska south through the Texas panhandle. And the hybrids are sort of mixes of both those regional groups.
You might see the northern flickers acting like respectable woodpeckers in trees, but I actually see them mostly on the ground. That's a very common place to see them.
Very unwoodpeckerly. What are they eating down there?
They're eating ants and beetles. They have this long, curved bill and barbed tongue, and they're just hunting.
Okay, interesting. So that was the northern flicker. And now let's look forward to what's going on in this upcoming week. Monica, can you help me out here?
Absolutely. Friday afternoon, December 30th, you are warmly invited to visit the Jefferson Land Trust's holiday open house in the Land Trust offices. Come enjoy Richard Tucker's famous baked cookies, coffee, and conversation as they celebrate a year of community success in the work of saving the places that matter.
And on Saturday, December 31st, if you're not helping me celebrate my birthday, there are a number of other things that you can do. If the notion of participating in a Christmas bird count appeals to you, you can join the Port Angeles Christmas bird count. Check the Olympic Peninsula Audubon Society's webpage for more information and to learn how to contact the bird count leaders.
Also on the afternoon of December 31st, you can enjoy an intimate journey to Protection Island with the Port Townsend Marine Science Center. Naturalists will be on board to talk about the history of Protection Island and the birds and other marine critters that make the island their home. Go to the Port Townsend Marine Science Center website for details.
I did that one year and loved it. On New Year's Eve, if the sky is clear, look up. The crescent moon will be perching quite low in the southwest at nightfall. Venus, the evening star, stands to the upper left of the moon. And the fainter planet Mars will be to the upper left of Venus.
On New Year's Day in the morning, not too early, the Native Plant Society sponsors its 14th annual Teddy Bear Hike. The hike will be a walk, amble, or stroll a few miles along the Larry Scott Trail, starting at the trailhead on Cape George Road. If the weather is nice, there may even be a bit of birding. The Teddy Bear Hike honors the memory of Harvey Manning, longtime hiking guru, author of over 30 Washington Trail guides, and perhaps the greatest friend to wilderness protection that has ever resided in Washington State.
That's according to the native plant people, imagine, yes.
Well, that makes me very interested in finding out more about this person.
I've seen his guidebooks, yeah.
Bring your favorite teddy bear, or not, and lunch or snacks. Fred Weinman will be leading the hike.
And if the teddy bear hike is not for you, join the members of Admiralty Audubon at Irondale Beach County Park to observe the first of the year's seabirds, songbirds, and forest birds. Always dress in warm layers with hats and gloves, and bring binoculars and spotting scopes to help identify the waterfowl. Check the Admiralty Audubon website for more information. So that's it for this episode of Nature Now. We hope you have enjoyed our program of authentic and eclectic news and information about the natural community where we live. And we hope you join us for a fun new year of Nature Now programs in 2017. Contact Nature Now hosts if you have comments, observations, ideas, or even if you think you might be interested in joining our Nature Now team. You can email us at naturenow@kptz.org. Nature Now airs at noon on Wednesdays, with repeats here on KPTZ at 91.9, on Thursdays at 5 p.m., and Saturdays at 11:30 a.m. Recent podcasts are also available on the KPTZ website. Thanks for listening.
Nature Now is produced by Nan Evans and edited by Charlie Fleischman.
Closing music is Bruno Mars singing Count on Me.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light to guide you. Find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me. Like 1, 2, 3, I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you. Like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. 'Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah. Ooh. Tossing and you're turning and you just can't fall asleep, I'll sing a song beside you. And if you ever forget how much you really mean to me, every day I will remind you. Oh, find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me. Like 1, 2, 3, I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you. Like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. 'Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah. Ooh.